Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Let's just open up our hands and open in prayer. Thanks for that intro, brother from another mother. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. Right across this place, you are already moving because you love each and every single one of us unconditionally. We pray that you'll take these words tonight. You will reform and inform us, reform the words so that we can chew on it and become more and more Christ-like. We pray for divine revelation. We pray that tonight there will be freedom in the house, that mindsets will be shifted. Religious spirits will be broken. We also pray that where lies have taken place, the truth will be revealed, because it is the truth that sets us free. Just place your hand on your heart and say, Lord, move upon my heart tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give somebody a high five, grab a seat. Fantastic. Pretty excited this evening to be here at City. Paulina and I are my beautiful wife over there. We are the location pastors of Pneuma East, our Pneuma East family, which we love very, very dearly. But we just love the Pneuma family. Paulina said this morning, she preached an amazing message. She said, we have no family. Like, we have no blood family in Australia, except I've got a very far cousin in Perth. So you are our family. And we just love you, each and every single one. I have a word that I know is for us. We all know that we're in the in-between season. But this is what I got when I looked at the screen while Pastor Thomas was up here, and there was this sun that was rising, looked like behind him. It was actually very, very effective, team at the back, fantastic. But I got this, that there's a breaking of a new dawn for Pneuma family. There's a breaking of a new dawn. The sun is rising upon Pneuma family. And Lamentations 3:22, verse 23, his mercies are new every morning. So with the new morning, the new dawn that's coming, there are new mercies. Now, we all know that on Tuesday, we will be gathering together, and those who are members will be voting for the nomination of our senior pastor. And I honestly believe that is the new dawn that is coming. So I want to say to you all, put on your seatbelts. We are ready. Anybody here ready to move on? Only three of us? Can I ask that again? That looks a little bit better. If you are not here on Tuesday, can you keep us in prayer? We need prayer. We all need prayer, but the Pneuma family needs prayer at this point in time. And we would really, really appreciate your prayer. Amen. We are busy at Pneuma East with the theme of open heavens. And yesterday, this past couple of weeks, I was at Awakening Australia. And I've just got to tell you, the Australian church, the Australian bride, as Pastor Ben Fitzgerald called it, is very healthy. To see the church, different denominations, standing in the ice cold rain in Brisbane. It was colder than what Melbourne was. and here is cold. But in the ice cold rain with ponchos and umbrellas by the thousands worshiping God, I tell you, it lets you know that the church is very healthy and about to explode. So get ready for that. And on the way back last night, I really felt to change the message and continue to talk about the open heaven and the access that we have to the promises of God. The promises of God are so many, and I really believe that as believers, we are not accessing them all. You see, there are no barriers between earth and heaven. There is a connection between the divine and the human where heaven invades earth. Why? Because the windows of heaven are already opened. At the time of Jesus, people believed that the windows were closed. Why? Because for about 400 years, there was no new prophets that were raised, and God revealed absolutely nothing new to the Jewish people. But in Matthew 3, 16 to 17, it reads as follows. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Read the next couple of words. At that moment, heaven was opened. Stop right there. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. As Jesus rose out of the water, at that moment, heaven opened and a dove came down upon Jesus. Now, nowhere in scripture do I read that the heavens closed. Nowhere. So the heavens are still open. We can assume that they are still open and we still have access to heaven as sons and daughters of the Most High God. You see, an open door is an invitation to enter. You have access to the space and the place, correct? When there's an open door, you have access to that space. But when the door is closed, it normally means no entry. It normally means no entry. But when you have somebody as rebellious as what I am, then you will always go and test that door to see if it opens. Anybody else like that in this place? Be real, be true now. You see, but then when it is locked, it's when people realize there's people like me that test the closed doors to see if it opens. So they lock the doors. And when they lock the door, it definitely means that there is no entry to anybody. But you see, this little round plastic thingy-majiggy that I've got right here, those who are clever call it a fob. I call it a thingy-majiggy. This thingy-majiggy called a fob gives me power and authority to walk to these doors of this auditorium. I strut my strut and I swipe it, and guess what? I get a green light. Don't we all like green lights? We like green lights. God forbid if that light is red, because then we go into panic. Thomas Crow, where are you? Why haven't I got access anymore to this? Whinge, whinge, whinge. You see, but I walk up to that door and I tap it and I have access to this space and this place. Now, let's say this space and this place is filled with candy and marshmallows, roast lamb and roast vegetables, Tim Tams, the best coffee, marvelous creation, chocolate, spare ribs, barbecued lamb chops. Anybody getting hungry? Pastor Joe's butter chicken. If you've had that before, my gosh, et cetera, et cetera. This place is packed. Now, I have access to this space and this place, which means I have access to everything in here. Yeah? But it doesn't help if I walk in and I ooh and I ah and I don't touch and I don't eat and I don't indulge. What is the use of having access in the first place? See, I have access to the space and the place to take part in what is in this place. And so it is living under an open heaven. It gives us access to experience God's continuous abundant blessings, guidance, and presence in our lives. An open heaven is a clear, direct, unbroken connection between heaven and earth. You're very quiet. You're very quiet. Help me out here. You help me out here. Heaven, open heaven enables a connection between God and His people, where His blessing is, where His presence is, where His power flows freely. And I'm reminded of a scripture in Psalms 34, verses 8 to 10. That 8 to 10 that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You have access to His space and His place, the kingdom of God, the open heaven, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His godly people. For those who fear Him, they will have all they need. They will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Anybody want to take that scripture for themselves? Those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. You see, taste and see that the Lord is good. See. I can see. I can do seeing from a distance. This means I'm an observer. Hello? But tasting is mean I'm a participator. I'm actually participating. It's when that roast lamb gets put down in front of me and I pick up my knife and I pick up my fork and I cut that lamb and I put a little bit of pumpkin on it and I put it in my mouth and boom, the flavors. I close my eyes and I go, oh, lamb is so beautiful. You got to taste to experience. Seeing and observing does not give you the same encounter as putting it into your mouth, as it is tasting it. You see, walking with the understanding that we live under an open heaven is of the utmost importance to every believer. Why? Because it helps us realize we have an access to the most amazing supernatural good Father who has the best in store for us. God is good. God is good. We don't understand this. As believers, we don't understand this. It's not just a declaration. It has to be a life experience. God is good. My family and I have, and we still encounter the goodness of God on very many levels. It's not just what He does. It is who He is. Goodness is not what He does. It is who He is. God's very nature is good. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord for He is. Taste and see that the Lord is. That's it. Today I need you to grasp this one thing. We live under an open heaven and we are consistently in the presence of the goodness of our Father God. Consistently. It never changes because He's a God that never changes. He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's the same forevermore. He remains and is good. He doesn't try and be good. He is goodness Himself. Goodness comes from Him. We say lamb is good, but that's belittling it. He is goodness Himself. And we need you to grasp this because Psalm 119:68 says this, you are good and you do, and what you do what is good. You are good and you do what is good. Psalm, this is scripture, people. I'm not sucking this out of my thumb. This is scripture. You are good. Has to do with His character. And you do what is good. Has to do with His actions. Totally, He is good. So we know He is good. But we got to know it not here. Doesn't have to be knowledge. It has to be heart. We have to know it here. Because when we know it here, we walk differently. When we know it here, we live differently. When we know it here, we speak differently. But when we know it here, that's like how we've got to renew our mind. Because doubt creeps in. But when you know it here, you start walking as a son and as a daughter of God. We know he is good. How is he good? I thought you would ask, so I did a little bit of research and I wrote down the answer. You see, throughout scripture, we are invited by God himself to experience, to taste and see the open heaven. He is so good that he has given, according to scholars, thousands upon thousands of promises of abundance, of blessing, of love, of peace, of provision, and so we can go on. But one of these promises is in Malachi 3:10. Where God promises to throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it all. Anybody want those blessings? Three of you? Does anybody want those blessings? Oh, that looks a little bit better. You see, we all want the blessings where he throws open the floodgates of heaven and he pours out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to store it all. But there is something that most believers miss. We need to get involved. You and I need to get involved. There's a role that you and I need to play. And that role in that same scripture is bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now don't panic, I'm not talking about tithes, all right? Pastor Joe's already spoken about it. But what I am talking about is the fact that he has these promises where we need to get involved in. You see, the keys to unlocking all that is in this open heaven is embedded in your obedience to God's call. Your obedience. Throughout scripture, you are called to respond. Throughout scripture, you are called to do something. Throughout scripture, you are called to be obedient. Now, let me explain. Has anybody here in this room or even online seen God physically? Okay. Whew. Thought I was maybe the only one. But you know what? In faith, we love him. In faith, we believe in him. In faith, we worship him. In faith, we give to him. Therefore, our faith walk with an unseen God rests on something. What is that something? God's word. Amen? And in God's word, there are thousands upon thousands of promises for yourself from him. There are two kinds of promises. There is an unconditional promise and a conditional promise. An unconditional promise, the fulfillment of an unconditional promise rests solely with the Lord. Scripture, Genesis 9:11. I establish my covenant with you. This is God speaking. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. What is the sign that we have that's in the sky every now and again? The rainbow, all right? So this is Genesis 9. This is an unconditional promise. Romans 8:38-39, God promises that nothing in all creation can separate us from his love. There's nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing. You know what the Greek for nothing is? Nothing. I just guessed that. I hope it's correct, but anyway. Nothing can separate you in all of creation from his love. Unconditional promise. But then there's conditional promises, and there's a couple that I want to point out here. You see, if a conditional promise depends on certain requirements that are being met by another party, and that is you, the transaction can be expressed that there is a, if you do this, then I will do this. James 1:5-7 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, then you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. What is the condition in that scripture? Ask in faith without doubting. What is the result? He will give generously. Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously and he will give you everything you need. What is the condition? The condition is seek first God's kingdom and live righteously. What is the result when you do that? Everything we need will be provided by him. Romans 10:9 tells us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. There's the if and the then. What is the condition? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. What is the result? You will be saved. Revelation 3:20 says that Christ is standing at our life's door knocking. If we open the door, then he will come in and have a relationship with us. What is the condition? Open the door. What is the result? He will come in and have a relationship with us. What are you saying, JJ? What I'm saying is we have access to an open heaven and all its goodness. However, we play a role in the access and the release. Any mathematicians in this place? None? Any accountants? None? Put up your hand, Paulina. 2, 3 of them. Okay, so what's 1 + 1? 2. Great. We don't need mathematicians. 1 + 1 = 2. What is the prophetic significance of 2? Do you know? Let me help you. 2 prophetically stands for an open door. 2 prophetically stands for assurance of his promises. 2 prophetically stands for the keys to the kingdom. Hello? Keys to the kingdom. What am I saying? Promises of God plus you equals keys to the kingdom. Promises of God plus you, there's an assurance of his promises coming into being. Come on. Come on. We play a role. You see, the biblical scholars say there are about 8,810 promises in the Bible. I told you there were thousands. I didn't count them, Googled it. Of these 8,000, there's 7,487, according to the scholars, who are made by God for you. Say, wow, that is a lot of promises. 7,487 in here are made by God for you. Each promise is a key to another part of his kingdom. That's how you got to see it. An open heaven is an invitation to God's place and space, to his kingdom. A promise is another key to another treasure trove in his space and in his place. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Where are you? You are on earth. What has God promised? Whatever you bind on this earth will be bound there. Whatever you loose on this earth will be bound there. What have you got? You've got a key in your hand to unlock another treasure trove that he has. You have the keys. You have the keys, 7,000 of them, to unlock heaven's treasure trove. You don't even have to open the doors of heaven. They are already opened. You just need to go in and unlock the treasure troves. You walk in there, there's 7,000 different treasure troves. You have the keys to go and unlock each and every single one of them because those are the promises of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not favor anybody. Don't look at the people on the stage and think they've got it all together because we don't have it all together. Each one of you, doesn't matter if you've just given your life to Jesus or you've been serving Jesus for 99 years, you have the keys to unlock and to lock. You have the keys. But God just doesn't just give you an open heaven to tantalize you. He doesn't say to you, hey, here, look, see, but don't touch. My mama did that. My gosh, when mama said that, you didn't touch. Otherwise, you had the wrath of Elizabeth Mayer on, not that one there, sitting over there, the senior one who's now with Jesus. But God's not like that. He's a good father. He's a good father. He gives you a bunch of keys in your hand, 7,487 of them, with a bunch of treasure chests. And he says to you as a child, knock yourself out. Unlock, 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 because my abundance is yours. John 10:10, Jesus was the one that said, I come to give life and that in a In abundance. Abundance is yours. You just have to unlock the promises that God has given you. Keys are symbolism. They symbolize authority, access, and control. And guess what? He's entrusted it all to you. Every single one of you. Doesn't matter where you are on your journey. You don't have to have all your stuff together. You've just got to give him your yes. 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 1 = 2. How many keys have you got? 7,487. How many weeks in a year? 52. If you took one of those keys, one of these promises, and made them yours, you would be busy for 144 years of your life unlocking the promises of God. May God help you if you live to that age. I told my kids I don't want to live to that age, so. Tonight, I want to highlight three keys, just three, which I believe are crucial for the church. The first is obedience. Why are there miracles in Africa? Why does God move in Africa but not in Australia? Why does God move in Africa but not in the UK? Why does God move so freely? You know why? Because here, we're not using our keys. We're not unlocking the promises. Because we think we've got it all together. Africa, I come from Africa, by the way. If you haven't realized, I come from South Africa. I'm talking about deep, deep Africa. You go there, limbs grow out, eyeballs grow back, dead are raised back to life. Why? So they unlock the treasure troves of heaven with the keys that God has given them. Obedience, Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 2. If you fully obey, everybody say fully. Say to your neighbor, fully. Say to your other neighbor, obey. The Lord your God, and carefully follow all his command, all these blessings. If you've got your Bible here, underline that. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. All these blessings. All these blessings. 7,487 of them. That's my interpretation, by the way. Obedience is not simply doing what God says when it's convenient. True obedience is full commitment, people. It's full commitment. True obedience is immediate commitment. If he says, do, you do. You don't go, oh, I'll think about it. Or I'll go and pray about it. That's a card we pull out as believers. Oh, I'll go and pray about it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's got to be without question. Your commitment's got to be without question. You see, obedience is trusting that he is good. And he has the goodest plan. He has the best plan for your life. I want to strongly suggest tonight that obedience is the foundational key that positions us to walk consistently under an open heaven. It's the foundation. I have a treasure chest right over there. God says, unlock it. I have to be obedient. I have to walk over to the treasure chest and I have to bend my little back. Oh, that's a bit of an effort, and I have to unlock it and open it to access what is in there. There is obedience from here to here. Pray for the sick. Lay your hands on the sick and heal them. Obedience means if there's somebody that's sick, what do I have to do? I have to lay my hand on them and heal them. This is what Scripture says. Love unconditionally. I have to love unconditionally. Not according to my terms. We have to be obedient in what we do. It is the foundational key. In Malachi, it says, bring the whole tithe. There will be open floodgates, so much blessing that there will not be room to store it all. Give, Luke 6:38, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Yesterday, I'm on the plane. Quick testimony. I'm on the plane. I'm sitting. This young child comes and sits next to me. He's 3 years old, the cutest thing that walks on this planet, except for my kids, apart from my kids. Anyway, he's sitting there with his little screen and he's watching Bluey and he doesn't bool bar. He's so gorgeous. His mom is sitting next to and they come around and they ask what we want to purchase, and I order mine and I get my Coke and I put it down and my crackers or whatever you call them, chips. I don't know what you call those things. What do you call them? Pringles. Those are the Pringles. She always orders them. Anyway, and I put my phone back, and God says, "Keep your phone out." Okay, keep my phone out. And he keep it handy. I'm keeping it handy. And the mum of this child orders what she ordered, a bottle of wine and some crackers, cheese and crackers. And she wants to give the lady cash. Who knows, you don't do cash on the airplane anymore. Guess what? I pounced. I'll pay. She goes, "Oh, no. I said, no, it's fine. So I pay. She wants to give me the 20 bucks. I said, "Please, it's nothing." So the stewardess, she mouths. Cool. Feeling pretty cool about it all. Next minute, there's this explosion. There's water everywhere. Water on the roof, water on me, water on this kid, I nearly said his name, water on the business class people in front of me. There's water everywhere. I burst out laughing. I said, "It even rains in the plains. Thank you, Jesus." Poor mama here opened the child's water bottle. Just one of those normal water bottles, not a... And it just... Don't get one of those bottles for your child. Just say it. And it just went everywhere. So I ring the bell, like a good... And I said, "Oh, can we have some wipes? We just need to wipe the roof." Wiping the roof, wiping off, wiping the seats, wiping the business people down. I'm giggling. The tears are rolling. Can we go on? Got my AirPods in. The next minute, no kidding you, this stewardess walks by and she puts two small bars of chocolate on my table. I'm pulling my AirPods out. I'm liking, what is that all about? The mum says, "Oh, that's for your kindness. That's karma." I said, no, that's Jesus. Yeah? And I started smiling. I'm going, "God, you know I love chocolate. Thanks for the kiss from heaven." So I put my AirPod in. Not even 2 minutes later, the same stewardess walks back, another three bars of chocolate on my table. I mean, that is what happens when you walk in the glory of God. That is what happens when you just tap your little phone over there and you pay for somebody else's wine and chocolate and little cheesies, you know what I mean? Seriously, people, we have to realize that He wants to favor us. You have to realize that we need to obey what He says, because it's in the obedience that unlocks the abundance. The obedience, your obedience will unlock your abundance. I got five little bars of chocolates. I got home and showed my family. I got two left. Don't touch them. They're mine. I had them this afternoon while I was busy preparing for today. As I come, I'm a bit hyped because I got a lot of sugar in me. When Abraham obeyed God to go and sacrifice Isaac, his obedience unlocked a blessing so great that it extended through the generations into which we live today. My question to you is this: where is God calling you to obey? Next point, repentance. We don't like the word repentance, do we? No, but we need to like the word repentance. Acts 3:19 says, repent. Everybody say repent. Turn to your neighbor and say repent. That was awkward. and turn to God, repent and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent. Repentance is more than saying sorry. Repentance is turning away from sin back to God. What is sin? Sin is any thought, any word, any action that goes against God's will and His perfect standard of holiness. Let me say that again. Thought, word, or action that goes against His will and His perfect standard of holiness. What does sin do? Sin separates us from God. Why do we need to repent? Because we need to continuously be turning towards God. We need to continuously be turning back to Him. Because the scripture says to us, right there it says, that our sins will be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Where does the refreshing come? The refreshing comes from His word. The refreshing comes from His abundance. The refreshing comes from the promises that we have been speaking about. Repentance is not just about feeling remorse. It's about turning to God. It's about turning to God. Church, I want to ask you this question. He is a good God. Where do you need to repent? What do you need to repent of? Well, maybe it is a thought. Maybe it's something that you've said. Maybe it's an action you've made. Because you know what? Sin separates us. Sin builds a barrier between myself and God. Sin builds, it's my choice. My choice builds the barrier. Not what God. God doesn't build the barrier. He wants that barrier to come down because He wants us to be in relationship. We need to repent. Where do you need to repent in your life? The last key that I want to look at is power. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. Power in the Amplified is translated as ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive ability. You shall receive efficiency. You shall receive might. That is massive. This is an unconditional promise. This is an unconditional promise. You shall receive ability. You shall receive efficiency. You shall receive might. And what are you meant to do that? So that you shall be the witnesses. Shall is you will be. You will be witnesses. Witnesses in Acts 1:8 is translated as martyrs in the Greek. And martyrs, or that word witness, is one who testifies to what they have seen, what they have heard, and what they have experienced. It's not just about going and evangelizing on the street. It's about telling other people what God has done for you. I stand before you, I told you about the chocolates, but I want to tell you something else, which is even greater. This week, this Sunday, we had our second report of, in as much as two weeks, of cancer that has totally been annihilated in two bodies. Totally annihilated. That is me standing here and witnessing of His goodness. That is an example of being the witness. And the power shall come upon you and you shall be my witnesses of what you have seen, what you have heard, and what you have experienced. What have I experienced in the past? I've experienced where I have shaken like a jackhammer, all dignity out of the window. Shaking like a jackhammer. What else have I experienced? You know what I've also encountered? I've encountered the favor of God upon my life that is so ridiculous that even Pastor Cherie, while we were up there, she was laughing at me because this woman comes up to me and says to me, I'll just bring you another lemon, lime, and bitters on the house. Pastor Cherie says, who's this guy? She just offers him a free lemon, lime, and bitters. Favor. Favor. Look at your neighbor and say, favor. You have favor because you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. The healing is there because of favor. Because you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Are you being a true witness? Here's my question. Are you being a true witness? Are you testifying constantly to what you have seen, heard, or experienced? If not, guess what? We need to repent. Because we need to be obedient. I conclude with this. God is inviting you. God is inviting every single one of you to step into His divine flow. The windows of heaven are open. What am I talking about, the divine flow? Have you seen the Niagara Falls? Waterfalls. That's the picture I see when I talk about a divine flow, that there is such a flood of His blessings that you cannot even stand underneath it because you'll be killed. But why? Because He is a good, good God. He is a glorious God. His mercies are so good and so great for you. But you know what? That if He gave it all at one time, it would kill you because He is supernatural and you are natural. But he's opened the floodgates of heaven and He's like, come on, my child, step forward, be obedient, unlock this chest and unlock this chest and unlock this one and walk in the abundance that I have for you. He's calling to you. I want you to do two things. If I can have the team, Brett, thank you. Come and help him sound a little bit more holy. That'd be awesome. I would like you to close your eyes. Ask Holy Spirit this question. You're going to get a yes or a no. Not a maybe. He's not a maybe God. He's a yes or a no God. Ask Holy Spirit this. Do I need to work on being obedient? Yes or no? Ask Him this next question. Am I testifying constantly of what I've seen, heard, or experienced? You're going to get a yes or a no. Then ask this question. Father God, is there anything I need to repent of? Any thought? Any words? Or any action that I need to repent of. You're going to get a yes or a no. Church, it's time to stop playing around and to stop playing church. It's time to get serious with what God wants to do in your life. It's time. If you got a yes, you need to be a little bit more obedient. You got to know you're not constantly testifying. If you got a yes, that you need to repent. I would like you to get up out of your chair and come down to the front. I want to pray with you. Let's get on our knees when we're here. If you can get on your knees, if you're able to get on your knees. If you're a leader, pastor, life group leader, don't let pride fall in. Folks, we need to be repentant every single day. Jesus said, in the prayer that He led us to pray, one of the things that He taught us was forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. It should be a daily thing. Why? Because we have to walk in the abundance that He has for us. Just close your eyes. Here we are. People are still coming forward. Is there anybody else? Come. Come, don't linger. Don't wait. Thank you, Lord. If you're in your seat, just continue praying in your heavenly language. I'm going to maybe get some of our team a little bit later just come through and lay hands on. And just to declare wholeness in whatever area you've come down to the front for. Whatever area that is. Wholeness. Father, you see our hearts. You see our hearts, Lord. There's times, Lord God, that we haven't been obedient where we should have. And because of our disobedience, Lord God, there has been a lack of your abundance. Not because you withhold it, but because we don't unlock it. Father, there's been times that you've called us out because we've said something wrong, we've thought something wrong, or we've done something wrong. And we've been blasé about it. We have been blasé. We have been flippant about it. And tonight, Lord God, we come and we repent. We repent, Lord God. Father, we are sorry. Forgive us. Forgive us for just not adhering to your word. Thank you that there is forgiveness right now taking place as we repent, as we turn back to you. And Father, you're a good God. There is so much that you have released in our lives. There's so much that you have given to us. We just got to look at our homes that we stay in, the bed that we sleep in, the cars that we drive, the clothes that we can wear, the food that we can eat, Lord God. But Lord, even in that, we have not been witnesses as we should be. Father, forgive us. Forgive us tonight. Forgive us tonight. Because, Lord, these promises that we have, we take tonight as keys to unlock your abundance, to unlock all those treasure chests. Honor you, we praise you. If I can have some of the leaders just come through, just lay hands. Such a sweet, sweet moment this tonight. Thank you, Lord. Just there where you are, just you confess.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.